Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony down at Everbank Field in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. Jaguars Today kicking off on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, it's post-combine time now. The combine's closed. That means we get our first look at the post-combine mock drafts today. I'm always a fan of the mock drafts. And I actually thought, I was listening to the drill, and I thought it was an interesting, I don't know if you'd call it a debate, between the big men and the speed guys on the edge. Mm-hmm. What's more important for a football team to build around, the premier pass rusher or the premier defensive tackle? And so I thought we'd appropriate a little of that for the show today. And we've got one of the best defensive tackles in Jaguar team history, Marcus Stroud, joining us in about 35 minutes. He'll weigh in on that and his thoughts on the combine, maybe some memories of his time coming out of Georgia as well, and where the Jags are headed this offseason. But it's a circumstance where the Jags probably won't have the opportunity to choose between the best at each position out there in free agency. But we're asking people today, if they did, which way would they like to go? And, I mean, it seems like all but a foregone conclusion that Justin Houston has to stay in Kansas City, doesn't he?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, how do you let a guy who gets 20 sacks at the age of 25 walk away? It doesn't make any sense from a league perspective for the Kansas City Chiefs to let a guy that talented walk away from their team. And Ndamukong Suh, who's the defensive tackle we're going to be talking about, is a completely different animal because of the situation he's in, where if you can't work out a long-term deal with him, you're not going to franchise him for $26 or $27 million,
right,
or whatever the number's going to be. So that's a completely different situation that Detroit's dealing with, where they may wind up letting Ndamukong Suh hit free agency. Justin Houston, he's too easy to control to let him walk out of your building.
You would think so, right? I mean, you would think you can't let a guy at that age, that kind of an impact pass rusher, escape from you. And that's likely the case, although I found something somewhat interesting as you try to, you know, mine the little bits of information that are out there and try to figure out what is applicable and what actually may be real. Tony Pauline, one of our favorite guys. You have him on your shows a lot. We have him on Jaguars Today quite a bit, talking about the draft from draftinsider.net. Was talking about Benardrick McKinney, a linebacker. A lot of people think he's going to be a middle linebacker,
right,
in the NFL, but there's some feeling that he's versatile enough. Maybe he's going to play outside, and Pauline ranks him as an outside linebacker. Well, where does that fit in with what we're talking about? Well, this is a little blurb from his combine notes column. The final day of the combine was yesterday, so these posted last night. He says he presently ranks Benardrick McKinney as an outside linebacker, and so do a number of teams in the NFL. According to him, he says sources tell him the Kansas City Chiefs are considering McKinney as a possible replacement for Justin Houston, who they may lose in free agency. Now, this may just be, you know, scuttlebutt, rumor, innuendo, none of it anywhere close to the truth. But, you know, look, they haven't applied the franchise tag yet to Justin Houston. I'm sure they're trying to work out a long-term deal with him first. That's the main goal. And I still think it's incredibly unlikely that he's going to get away. It's a little different in Detroit when you've got two guys on, you know, $20 million-ish salaries with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford.
Right.
But at least that's what he's hearing, that Kansas City is making alternative plans, maybe just keeping their options open, maybe trying to put a little pressure on Justin Houston. What pressure, though? Justin Houston hits the free agent market. Who would get the biggest deal out there, Sue or Houston?
Ooh.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is hard to say. A guy going into his fifth year that can do what Houston can do, maybe. But you are talking, like, there's a debate whether he's the best pass rusher in the league. I don't know that there's a whole lot of debate that Ndamukong Suh is the best defensive tackle in football right now.
Which, so, I agree, but then it comes down to which position is more valuable.
Right.
Could you, if you have the absolute best guy, and let's presume for the sake of this conversation that Suh is that guy, and a lot of Jaguar fans would love to see this team make a run at Ndamukong Suh if he, in fact, does hit free agency, in the case that Detroit is not able to work out a long-term deal with him.
Right.
So they'd love to have him in here. Let's say he is the top guy. Well, Justin Houston's the top pass rusher right now. Will he be next year? Maybe, maybe not. He's probably going to be among the better ones. But who would you have said going into last year was the top young pass rusher in the league? Maybe Robert Quinn? Right?
Yeah.
Had a good year, but a very slow start to his year last year. So, you know, if Justin Houston, not that there's anything to scoff at, what do you have, 22 sacks this year?
22, yeah.
What if he posts 14 next year? It's still an excellent year, right?
Well, yeah, he's been 5.5 his rookie year, 10, 11, 22.
It's a pretty big jump.
It's a big jump, but still you're talking about a guy that's in the triple, the double digits
double figures,
in the past
double figures.
3 years. I mean, that's production. You know,
I'm not disputing that. And you also have, you know, in the case of the Jaguars, you have to take into account the roster as it's presently constituted. There's two different discussions here. Which one is inherently more valuable? Is it the defensive end or is it the defensive tackle, depending on how? I mean, we're not talking about here just a good defensive tackle. We're talking about a guy people compare to like a Warren Sapp. You know, that Ndamukong Suh, if he continues to have the kind of career he's had for, you know, say the next 6 to 8 years, may go down as a Hall of Famer one day. I guess you could say the same thing about Justin Houston on the early trajectory that he's on right now. But we're talking about one of the best defensive tackles, most disruptive, not just a space eater, you know, a penetrating guy that is makes it almost impossible to run the football up the middle on the Detroit Lions. They had one of the best defenses in football.
They did.
And you just didn't want to run the or didn't want to try to run the football against them. Now you could look and say, he had 8.5 sacks, so did Sindarik Marks. What makes him so much better than Sindarik Marks? You can make that argument, at least from a pass rush standpoint. You also got to factor in the Jags' defensive tackles, not 100% healthy. So whether it's a better fit for the Jags or the league as a whole, maybe two different conversations, but we're going to have that conversation a little bit today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you, as Jaguar fans, if you could have one of those free agents, no matter how unlikely you think it is or may think it is, that either one of them makes it to free agency, let alone would come here if they have multiple suitors around the league throwing money at them, who would you rather have, Houston or Sue? You can weigh in at MD_1010XL on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler as well, and of course on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Other interesting note I found, and I look, none of it matters because we'll find out on March 10th. But in the meantime, sports radio is full of speculation and all, you know, just trying to put the pieces together. There's a note as well from the column by Tony Pauline on draftinsider.net. He said, quote, "It was bandied about the internet that the New York Jets spent a significant amount of time with Philip Dorsett, the Miami wide receiver." Mm-hmm. He said, "I can confirm this to be true." This is from being in Indianapolis. But he says, "Besides the Jets, the other team who's taken a liking to the speedy wideouts, the Green Bay Packers." Now, they may have taken a liking to him. They may be investigating. Maybe they're just doing their due diligence. But that, to me, Tony, sounds like a team that, oh, you know, wait a minute, Philip Dorsett's a smaller, speedy guy, would be a more natural replacement for a guy like Randall Cobb if he were to walk than maybe some of the guys that they already have on the roster. But if they were going to go out there and re-sign Randall Cobb to a Jordy Nelson-like contract, you got a lot of money tied up in your starters. You drafted 3 wide receivers last year, and one of them, Davante Adams, played very well. I find it hard to believe the Packers are in the market to draft another receiver if they re-sign Randall Cobb. So at least it indicates to me that if the information is true, at least they're not 100% sure they're going to get something worked out with Cobb, and they're at least creating some contingencies for themselves in the draft.
Well, maybe it's playing both sides, or maybe it goes back to what we were discussing with the Packers going into free agency anyway, that they feel like they do have a bunch of young guys on that roster that they can develop and replace Randall Cobb. And it's not anybody in the Packers organization that is saying we're committed to keeping Randall Cobb here. It's a bunch of the media types up there.
True.
That are saying, you know, this team doesn't want to let Randall Cobb get away. Well, from a media perspective, I can understand why you take a look at a player who's as productive as Randall Cobb is and say, how could this team let him walk if they could figure out some way to keep him here in Green Bay, especially if he's asking for, what, $8, $9 million a year, something they could certainly figure out a way to do that. But if the conversation we had about Green Bay a month ago was actually the correct one, where we said, look, this is a team that believes in who they have playing quarterback more than anything else.
Which they should.
And while Randall Cobb is a great player, they believe that with the young guys they have on that roster, they can replace the productivity of that type of player and keep it cheap. They're at the wide receiver position and can afford to do that because of who they have playing quarterback. If that's actually what Green Bay's thinking, then yeah, there's a chance that Randall Cobb hits free agency. And again, it's the media types up there that are saying they're not going to let Randall Cobb walk. It's not the teams aren't saying anything at this point anyway, but you haven't heard anything from Randall or anybody in the Packers organization saying they're working on anything.
Right. Well, a few teams have indicated. I mean, clearly, Dallas has indicated they're not letting Dez get away.
Exactly.
And Denver's indicated they're not letting Demaryius Thomas get
away. Well, and Dallas also indicated we made an offer to DeMarco Murray.
Right.
Like, there are players who haven't re-signed that teams have made it pretty clear we're trying. You know, like Seattle's saying we have offered contracts to Marshawn Lynch. The Denver Broncos did talk about a contract they had offered Julius Thomas to keep him up there in Denver. There are teams that are putting that kind of information out there. Nothing on Randall Cobb. Nothing from
Green Bay. I saw DeMarco Murray on, who's the guy? I just drew a blank on ESPN with his dad on the show. Levitard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Levitard, Bomani Jones on yesterday, whatever the name of that. Dan Levitard show, probably. Anyway, I'm watching it, and they're like, we got DeMarco Murray coming
highly
on.
Highly questionable, I think.
Is that, that's what it is, right? Yeah. Highly questionable. And DeMarco Murray, it was one of the most odd interviews. It was like, he gave him nothing. Just, no, it was like, why are you doing this? Why did you agree to come on television live for 5 minutes? And they're trying to draw something out of him. DeMarco, what was your reaction when you heard about the 4-year, $16 million that Dallas wanted you to sign for? I didn't hear anything about it. What do you mean? Yeah, no, that's between my agent and the team. What? You didn't. Your agent doesn't pass along the numbers.
There's no
to you?
Conversation.
I mean, it was just the strangest thing. Talk heating up that Adrian Peterson wants out of Minnesota. Maybe he'll end up in Dallas. Boy, if you're only offering DeMarco Murray $4 million, I just can't see what you're going to pay Adrian Peterson that's going to make him happy when he's due to make $12.75 million this year alone. That's what you want to pay DeMarco Murray for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I'd rather have DeMarco Murray for the next 3 years than 1 year of Adrian Peterson. Obviously, they might redo that deal if he were to get traded, but we'll get into that a little bit as well. If you'd like to get on board today, 641-1010. Let's talk about the importance of the various positions on the defensive line and in free agency. What's your priority, Ndamukong Suh or Justin Houston? If, in a perfect world, both of those guys were available for the feeding frenzy that is free agency. Marcus Stroud, one of the best defensive tackles in team history, goes without saying, but I said it anyway, will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mike,
I wonder
Dempsey,
how he feels
Fat
about
Tony.
The question.
I want, you know what? He'll tell you straight. Now, I would think he's got a bias. Certainly, he'll shoot you straight. If
considering the last time this defense was great, it was built from the inside out.
It was built from the inside out, and in this franchise's history, and I heard Dan and Jeff talking about this. I don't know if I agree that Tony Brack is the best defensive lineman in team history. I mean, part of it is the ability to stay healthy, right? And
best pass rusher in team history.
Pass rusher is a different story.
It is.
Different story, but you know, part of the, when you can show up year after year and make as many Pro Bowls as Stroud and Henderson were able to make, I think they've got a pretty good argument in that conversation as well. 641-1010, the number if you'd like to get on board. Just getting started. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank Field. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran from Florida Times Union. You hear that chorus of yay out there in Radio Land. I love the, if nothing else, the bright and cheery personality of Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, he made the power rankings top five.
He did make the top five, and he should be very happy about that. He's probably upset. That probably bothered him, because everything bothers him. David Garrard's going to join us in studio on Thursday this week. And then got a can of worms are we opening up when we invite Duval Doom to join us in studio in person.
We'll see.
Has he ever been behind the curtain at Everbank? Does he know what happens behind the curtain?
I do not know.
I mean, we're used to being behind the curtain at Everbank. I was walking in today, I was thinking, This is a quite a large office building, isn't it? I mean, just to come to work in every day, we've got all this space, and people dutifully, I saw them, the ticket sellers, having a pep up, you know, pump you up meeting this morning. That's what it looked like anyway to me. I don't know what it was about, but, I've been dragging my feet, Tony, on renewing my season tickets, not for any reason other than because I procrastinate, and that's just the way it is.
Sure.
You know, and they're like, hey, here's a deadline, and then I get something after the deadline passes. Hey, you have only until March whatever to keep the same seat. So wait a minute, what happened to that deadline thing? I'll get around to it here coming up shortly. New mock drafts out, we'll take a look at those. Coming up, if you'd like to weigh in today, what's more important in general, and specifically to this football team. I mean, because it carries over to the draft as well, and I think that's where the conversation came out of with Jeff Prosser and Dan Hicken this morning on the drill. You got Leonard Williams, who's seen, I guess, look, he's got position versatility. And so I don't look at him as strictly a defensive tackle. I look at him as the ultimate replacement at left end for Red Bryant if the Jaguars were to take him, with the ability, maybe in the short term, to open the season as you're starting three technique guy in place of Cinderic Marks, right? I mean, he's going to be potentially your penetrator who can get to the quarterback, play next to Roy Miller in there, give Marks time to work his way back into game shape. Maybe he'll be ready at the start of the season. We just don't know. But it gives you that flexibility, one more big body on the line, ultimately, to have that versatility. I know they like to have the versatility in the personnel packages they put out there. And then Dante Fowler, who is a versatile guy as well. He played multiple positions in the front seven for the Florida Gators. Some people are suggesting coming out of the combine that he is best suited as an outside linebacker in a 3-4. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Maybe he's best suited there. I think he's shown that he can certainly play defensive end in a 4-3. Can he play the auto position in the short term for the Jags, with an eye on eventually maybe moving to the Leo? I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that.
Maybe. It depends. And again, the conversation we had with Ryan O'Halloran when he was up at the Combine last week, one of the things he said he talked to Gus about was specifically that auto position and what they want to do with it going forward. And it sounded like Gus wanted to make it more of a coverage position than a pass rush position. I don't know if that's just looking at what he may have available to him and saying that's what we want to do going forward. Is Dante Fowler that? You know, if you're bringing him in with the idea of having him play the auto, and that is your stance right now on what you want to do with that position specifically, is Dante Fowler more of a coverage guy, or is he a pass rusher at that kind of spot? And maybe that impacts their plans on what they want to do in the draft. I don't know. Or maybe it's all smoke. Look,
absolutely,
we really don't know.
No, we don't. And, you know, look, I think there's several distinct scenarios, or at least one distinct scenario, where Winston goes first and Leonard Williams goes to Tennessee. And this conversation, at least in terms of being a decision between those guys, is a moot point. Right now, just based on, again, I've watched the highlights. I've heard the pundits talk about him. I've seen the breakdowns. I would take Leonard Williams for this football team.
Me too.
Over any other player, any other single player that would, I would, you know, want to draft to help me this year and in the future. Leonard Williams is the guy. Don't know if they're going to get that opportunity. The question today, if they could draft or sign Sue or Justin Houston. And Ndamukong Suh, best defensive tackle in the game. Justin Houston, at least right now, the best pass rusher in the game. Which is more critical? Which would you rather spend that $20 million of that cap space on? 6-4-1-10-10. Let's start today off with Steve on the line on Jaguars today. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
That's really a toss-up. Because I like Houston, and the only reason why I feel you probably would take Houston is because I don't know if Clemens' inconsistency was due to his little rustiness coming from off injury, or if it was due to maybe he's getting up in age. So, you know, if you want to get younger at that spot, then maybe you go Houston. But I might take Sue because there was more sacks with the DNs than the DTs. And Ziggy didn't show me anything. He only had one sack. Avery Jones had more sacks than Ziggy and Miller. But I'm not saying you shouldn't keep Miller. I like Miller.
Right. Well, Roy Miller's job isn't to get sacks. You know, it's to tie up blockers on the offensive line. You know, to hold the point of attack firm. Hey, look, appreciate the call, Steve. Chris Clemens, I thought, played well in the second half of the year. And there were stretches when he was quiet. But, oh, obviously, you're looking at some point to get a replacement for him. Yet, Tony, the point is, and has been made, the Jags had over 40 sacks last year. They were actually pretty good in that department as a whole. And I thought it started from the inside out. I thought it started with the season that Cindric Marks had. You go back to the very first preseason game when he set the tone against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I think it was his penetration that ultimately caused the most disruption up front. You had a lot of guys chipping in with a lot of sacks, and there was no one guy, but the one constant to me game in, game out, was the disruptive force that Cindric Marks was. And when you consider he's coming off of injury, like, if he were healthy, I don't think I'd spend a penny on Ndamukong Suh. But can you find a way to use all those guys? If Cindric Marks, Ndamukong Suh, Roy Miller are all healthy at the same time, does that fit the model of what you're trying to do, and is it the best use of your money and your resources?
I don't know if it's the best use of your money and your resources, but the idea of, look, I think Ndamukong Suh is a dominant player on the inside. I think Cindric Marks is along those same kind of lines, and you're getting him a whole lot cheaper than you're getting Ndamukong Suh right now, but you are dealing with two guys that are playing defensive tackle that you want to rely on going forward. You just signed them both to contract extensions, and they're both having surgery this offseason. You don't know what they're going to be when you come back. So is the idea of signing Ndamukong Suh and drafting a pass rusher really intriguing to me? Heck yes.
Sure.
And it should be to anybody
else. Or if you could go the other way around, if you could get a Justin Houston, it'd be more difficult to go this route.
Right.
If you could get a Justin Houston or a Jason Pierre-Paul, which it's still incredibly unlikely. We're playing the hypothetical game.
Hey, you could go pay Greg Hardy.
And then, right, you could.
I mean,
and then,
you know he's going to hit free agency.
But even then, you have to hope that Leonard Williams falls in your lap.
No, I get it.
Because there are going to be more pure, quote, edge rushers available to you with that third pick than necessarily there would be a guy like Leonard Williams, who is kind of a unique player being discussed in the top 10. Danny Granger, the other big, isn't that his name? The kid out of Texas, the big defensive tackle? Is it not Danny Granger? Danny Granger is a basketball player.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of? The guy that weighed 339, slowest 40 at the combine, but nobody cares.
Malcolm Brown?
No, not Malcolm Brown. The nose tackle that everybody has projected to go. I don't have it right in front of me. Everybody has projected like to go to the Chicago Bears. I'll find it here in 2 seconds. Danny Shelton. That's who it is. Not Granger. Danny Shelton. The defensive tackle out of Washington. I don't know why I was thinking Texas, but regardless.
He threw me off of that Texas thing.
Maybe that was it. But anyway, he's a different kind of guy. He's like a 3-4 nose tackle. He is a immovable object, whereas Leonard Williams is more of a disruptive force, as well as having that great size, nearly 300 pounds, but he's not, he's a different beast. He's 40 pounds lighter than, Shelton is. Let's get Sebastian up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Sebastian. How are you?
Great, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
My question is about Randall Cobb. You guys have been talking about him a little bit, and a lot of people seem excited, but I kind of question about how effective he would be if he came into Jacksonville and was forced to be the number one guy. And kind of the case in point here is Cecil Shorts. You know, when Blackman was available and was playing, Cecil Shorts was very effective because they couldn't double him. They couldn't just focus on him. And I'm thinking if Randall Cobb comes in and he's forced into the role of being the guy and defenses can just key in on him, I just don't think that he would be quite as effective without having an Aaron Rodgers and all those other weapons. And I'll pick your comments up here.
Anybody you sign like that, Randall Cobb, Julius Thomas, don't expect the numbers they had in their previous stop. They're playing with Hall of Fame quarterbacks with boatloads of weapons around them.
Right.
My question to you would be, is Randall Cobb better than anybody you have right now? Because right now you're asking Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee to be your number one receiver. Are they more equipped than Randall Cobb is to be that guy? If you bring in a guy, whoever it is, even if the coverage rolls to him and it makes his life more difficult, well, it should make everybody else's life more easy at the same time.
Look, if you brought in a guy like Julius Thomas, if you can't figure out some way in an offense to get him the ball 40 to 50 times in a season, then you're not doing the job.
40 to 50?
Well, that's what he's been getting up there in Denver. I'm not saying that he can't be above that here in Jacksonville, but if you can't find a way to scheme that guy to get the ball that many times, then you're not doing the job. If you can't find a way if you brought in a guy like Randall Cobb to get the ball in his hands 60 or 70 times in a season.
That's more like it.
Right. You're not doing the job. I go back to last season, and one of the big names in free agency at the wide receiver position was Eric Decker, and he went to the Jets, and everyone was like, watch his production fall off a cliff now that he's not with Peyton Manning. Well, in 2013, he caught 87 passes for 1,288 and 11 touchdowns. I'm not saying this is the same, but with Geno Smith and that crew playing quarterback up with the Jets, he caught 13 fewer passes, 74 passes for 962 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's not on Decker. He was still a good player in both places, but the quarterback drop-off was so severe that those numbers took that kind of drop. And it Decker, would be kind of the same thing wherever Julius Thomas went.
Decker was hurt so much last year, too. If he was healthy, he might have matched his numbers because his targets are going to increase. So maybe on a per-play basis, wouldn't it be as effective? That could be the case with any of these guys. That's not a good reason to not bring one of those guys in. Now, I get it. Maybe if you say, well, Dez Bryant's going to be a number one, and he can handle double teams, and he's proven that. Those guys, there aren't many of them, and none of them are going to be available.
They're both significantly better than the options you have. You go get them.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. Coming up next, Marcus Stroud scheduled to join us here on Jaguars today. We'll talk defensive tackles, defensive ends, combine memories, and more with one of the best to ever lace them up for the Jaguars. That's next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Take you back to 2001, first round of the NFL draft. Jags have the 13th overall pick. They select a player out of the University of Georgia by the name of Marcus LeVar Stroud, who would go on to pair with John Henderson as a fearsome combination in the middle of the Jaguar defensive line for a number of years. And Tony, what was the one thing we always heard other teams say when they were going to play the Jaguars during the Stroud and Henderson era? You knew you were in for a fight, a physical game.
No doubt.
You were going to get hit, and you were going to know it. And that whole team, they set the tone, but that whole defense was a physical bunch. And Marcus Stroud joins us once again here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Marcus. How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing fantastic, man. Does this time of year, do you reminisce much? Does it bring back good memories? Are you glad that whole combine thing and trying to prove yourself to NFL teams is way in your past now?
I am, but it was kind of fun at the time. You like to always go out and show what you could do and prove your doubters wrong.
Marcus Stroud joining us here on the program. Marcus, we haven't had the opportunity to talk to you since training camp when you came out with us for a couple of shows while we were getting ready for the season. When you look back on this past season, what are your thoughts on Blake Bortles and what you saw for him and maybe his progress throughout the year?
I think he has a chance to be special, man. It was a tough season. He had a bunch of bumps and growing pains, but you saw flashes, and I definitely think he has the talent. He has the arm. He's not gun shy. So I definitely think the future is looking bright.
How important is it, Marcus, to have a guy that the rest of the team wants to follow? Okay, you played with various quarterbacks in your time in the National Football League. Some of those guys probably had the it factor. Others maybe didn't. Everybody seems to think Blake has the it factor. Even the defensive leaders on this football team kind of rave about his presence. How big is that for a young player to have that at an early age?
That's very big. You know, that's something you can't teach. You can't coach that. You have to have that within you, and other guys can see it. You know, not to talk bad about anybody, but the last guy that was here, he just didn't have that, and you could tell because the guys wasn't quite behind him 110% like they are behind Bortles.
What was the most number of rookies you ever played with, Marcus?
Oh, man. I don't know, actually. I really don't know.
I bet it was less than the six or seven they started.
Can you imagine being on a side of the ball with seven rookies around you? Would that just drive you absolutely insane?
Absolutely. It definitely would because it's part of the game. You all have to grow, but with that many rookies on the field, it's, who do you look to for leadership? You know what I mean? It's hard to rely. And don't get it twisted. Rookies come in and make plays and do great jobs, but at certain times, you need that veteran experience, somebody you can lean on and know what's coming and who's seen it time and time again. A lot of these rookies, this is their first time seeing this stuff. So that definitely makes a difference.
Who would be angrier about it if you had to do that, you or Big John?
Probably Big John.
He's just angrier in general, man. I mean, he's all smiles now, but he was a scary dude back in the day.
Yeah, I think Big John, you know, I was a little more understanding. Big John was a little more hot-headed than I was.
Marcus Stroud here with us on Jaguars today. The pair of defensive tackles that the Jags rolled out there, the starters last year, were the best combination they've had since you and John Henderson laced them up for the Jaguars. So Derek Marks, Roy Miller, both got hurt late in the season. How critical going forward is their full return to health? That, to me, Derek Marks is the best player on the football team last year.
I think so, and he definitely wears the right number, so he represents the Nines pretty good. But on a more serious note, him and number 97, man, they did a good job out there when they were suited up, and that's why I don't think that drafting a defensive lineman as high as many people have the Jaguars projected to do isn't such as a necessity. I think the defense was pretty good last year. They just stayed on the field a little too long. That's why I think we ought to get a dynamic player on offense to help Blake Bortles out.
So you think with the third overall pick, even being the big defensive tackle that you are, you'd like to see him get a playmaker even as high as the third overall spot?
I mean, if Amaris Cooper's there from Alabama, you take that guy with the third spot. I think he's going to be a special player in the NFL, and you just don't let that type of talent go, especially the draft of DN when that's just my opinion. I don't think there's one dominant DN that warrants a number three pick this year.
With both defensive tackles for this team having surgery this offseason, Marcus, I know that's something you're familiar with. You had microfracture surgery between the 2007 and 2008 season. Any concerns for you watching those guys as they try to get back into the full swing of things at the beginning of next year?
Absolutely not. When I had my microfracture surgery back during that time, a lot of people thought I wasn't going to be able to come back, and I was able to come back and have a pretty successful tenure after that. My shoulder ended up being the one to take me out. So I think it's just all about how you rehab, how you take care of yourself after that, and I think those guys are professionals, and they had a taste of what they could do while healthy and a taste of success, so they're definitely going to want to get back to that level. So I don't think it'll be a problem for it.
Three-time Pro Bowler Marcus Stroud here with us, longtime Jacksonville Jaguar defensive tackle. Marcus, in part, one of the things we're talking about today is the value of the defensive tackle position compared to the defensive end position, right? And now, in a hypothetical world, because both of these guys may re-up with their teams, you've got Ndamukong Suh out there, right, who may be the best defensive tackle in the game. Most people think he is. You got Justin Houston out there, 22 sacks, best young pass rusher in the game. If you could have one of these guys to improve a defense, and I guess it would depend on the personnel that was already there, but what's more important in today's NFL, having a guy like Sue or having a guy like Justin Houston?
Well, if we're just talking about the Jaguars, having a guy like Justin Houston would be more important because you already have two great defensive tackles like we just talked about, and if you look at the numbers, Marks had great numbers just like Sue did.
Yes, he did.
So if we're talking about the Jaguars, I'll go that route. But if we're talking about a team, just another team, it's hard to go against the Georgia boy. But I definitely, think Sue is a factor in the middle. You know, especially if you can get past all the antics and everything, he's a dominating player.
Is it good to have a little bit of that on a football team, though? I know you had John next to you for all those years, and we talked about it when we brought you on, Marcus, this attitude that defense had there in the mid-2000s here in Jacksonville, that they were going to punch you in the mouth. And maybe Sue goes overboard from time to time, but is it good to have that kind of attitude, especially on the defensive side of the ball and down there in the trenches?
No doubt about it. You know, it gets ugly down in there. It gets nasty. So you have to have that type of attitude. You have to have that type of edge to be successful, but you can do all that without the extra antics.
So, did you watch much of the combine? Did you study all those guys in the underwear Olympics like we all do, or how much did you take in?
I watched it very sparingly. I just was able to catch Chris Conley do his thing at the combine. But, I don't put much stock into that because you have a lot of guys that go in and they'll work out wonders, and then they can't play dead in the Western movie. And then you have a bunch of guys that go out and don't do as well and end up being studs on the field. So I let the play and the camps and all that stuff do most of the talking.
Yeah, I figured Chris Connolly would catch your eye. You got to keep it all in the family up there.
Hey, man, you know, hey, I'm Georgia born, Georgia bred.
I understand. When you die, you'll be Georgia dead, too, and that's all good. What do you know about Leonard Williams, Marcus? Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched much USC football. I've seen the highlights. Everybody raves about this guy. He's versatile. He can play all across the formation in any kind of front. How much do you know about him, and how good of a player do you think he is?
Well, I'm going to have to go based upon the highlights and just like the stuff I've seen. I don't know as much about him as other guys. You know, he wasn't an SEC guy, so I really pay attention to SEC football. But based upon what I'm hearing, he can play every position on the line. So anytime you have that type of versatility, that makes you a commodity in this league.
Marcus, I know you play a lot of fantasy football, so I know you're paying attention to the skill positions. How much do you, when you're watching the game now, pay attention to what is going on that interior defensive line? And, you know, what is the comparison between a guy like Ndamukong Suh and Cedric Marks in Jacksonville? How comparable are those two players?
I think they're very, very comparable. Like I just said earlier, you know, I'm definitely a fantasy football guy, but I always pay attention to my linemen. Interior and outside, and you look at the numbers based upon the numbers. And Derek Barnes, he was doing just as much damage as Sue was, but you just happen to have a better offense, which kept Sue and them off the field as much as Martin and them had to play, and that's the difference. You know, a good defense and a good offense complement each other. A good defense is able to get the offense back the ball. And the offense is able to kick the defense off the field. That's the only difference between those two guys. If they had, I think if the offenses were comparable, the numbers would be, I think the numbers would be even more better for Mark because he wouldn't be as tired and wouldn't be on the field as long.
Marcus Stroud of the Jags, a longtime Jag here with us on Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Marcus, we know how young this team was last year. We know the pieces that they have in place, and we don't know yet what they're going to add in free agency in the draft, but they need to be aggressive. They've got a lot of cap space. How much of an improvement can this team make in 1 year? They went from 4 wins to 3 wins, but are they in position, in your mind, to take a significant step forward in the standings this year?
I do. Like I said, I think they're one, they can get a good offensive, explosive offensive player like an Amari Cooper in the draft, or maybe like another receiver or something during the draft. You got to try to equip Waters with as many weapons as you can. Get a running back, get another running back out there to complement Denard, and definitely go in and try to show up the line a little bit more. I think the sky's the limit. The defense is pretty solid. Yeah, I think if you could plug in a few players here and there, maybe take a chance on a Greg Hardy or something like that in free agency, and you have a chance. I think they have a chance to make a significant jump.
How big of an impact would a guy like Randall Cobb or Jeremy Maclin make? Are those the kind of caliber guys you're looking for the kind of boost this offense needs?
Yes, because you need a guy that can stretch the field and can go out there and that's going to be healthy and consistent, and both of those guys you name, you know what they can do, especially around the Cobb. If you can get a guy like that who can stretch the field, who can go underneath and make plays, then you have somebody along with a young Marquise Lee that Lee can learn from. Then you have more weapons for Borders. I read somewhere that they may even take a look at trying to get a tight end like Charles Clay in. So something like that, and that could, those type of guys that can stretch the field, that can take some of the pressure off him, but when he needs to make plays, he can use that big arm of his and stretch the field. Then you have a chance to play action, dump it off to your tight end, and then do your running game. So the sky's the limit.
Marcus, the fans love hearing from you and all those guys that were part of that team there in the mid-2000s. I know we have David Garrard on with us every week, and the fans enjoy that. But let us know what's going on with you, man. What are you up to here lately?
Man, right now I'm just chilling. I'm doing some research, about to franchise into a business and become a little business owner. So I'm just sitting back and doing the groundwork for that type of stuff. And I also have a little panel coming up in March where we're going to sit around and talk about the draft picks for a few days up in Atlanta on Fox Sports. So I'm just getting ready for that.
Well, we look forward to everything you're doing, man, coming up. And the next time you're in town, we hope you carve out a little time, swing by the studio, oh, yeah, and talk a little football with us, all right?
Well, hey, man, if you give me the invitation, I'll be there.
You know it, Marcus. Good to talk with you, man. And I think I'm probably not the only one a little surprised that you said D-tackle, no, DN, no. Let's go get us a wide receiver in the draft. My man, Marcus Stroud. And he even picked the big boy over his Georgia boy in the head-to-head if you're starting from scratch. Marcus, we appreciate the time, man. Good to hear from you, and we'll do it again soon, all right?
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. Marcus Stroud, longtime Jacksonville Jaguar, here with us. Tony, I got to admit, I'm a little bit surprised. Marcus, like, hey, and we're pretty good up front. Let's go get a playmaker. I think it is complicated. They were pretty good last year, but it is complicated by the age of the two guys you brought in from Seattle, mm-hmm, and the injuries of the two guys in the interior. I'm not saying they're crippling, you know, career ending type situations, but you don't know if that front four, particularly the first, you know, six games or so of the season, is going to be in position to play as well as he did last year. And if you have a drop off there, that's the one area that you felt like you had pretty solid. And you can't have to go and plug all these other holes, and then the one area where you thought, all right, we're pretty rock solid here, have to take a step back. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we'll see how it all plays out. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville on this date, February 24th. Let's do birthdays first. Looking back over the years, Jeff Garcia, born on this date in 1970. Simeon Rice, born on this date in 1974. You'd take him right now in his prime.
Sure.
Simeon Rice probably, I'm sure he's in the top 10 all time. Sacks. It smells like a pop quiz is coming, Tony, so don't go looking. I'll tell you, on this date in 1985, Jim Kelly, playing for the Houston Gamblers of the United States Football League, passed for an American, when I say American, United States of America professional football record of passing yards in one game. Care to guess how many Kelly threw for on that day?
Ooh, I'll go with 563.
Very good. 574 for Jim Kelly. Norm Van Brocklin holds the NFL record. He Kelly on this date in 1985 led the Gamblers to a 34-33 comeback victory. They're trailing 33-13 with 10 minutes to play in the game, and the aerial circus commenced. By the way, somebody up in Canada by the name of Sam Etchenberry with the Montreal Alouettes threw for 586. That is the America. That's the professional football record for passing yards in a game. Any guess as to who the all-time passing leader is in the CFL? I was looking up some numbers today.
Warren Moon.
That's a great guess, yeah, right? I mean, he won all those great cups. Damon Allen, who threw for over 70,000 yards, 71,000, brother of Marcus Allen.
Oh, how about that?
I had no idea.
No.
Next time I see Marcus Allen at the Super Bowl, I'm going to say, look, there goes Damon Allen's brother. It'd be fantastic. All right, that's this date in football history presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Call 268-1638 for a professional free estimate at your convenience, or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
And a Jaguars birthday today as well. I just saw it on Twitter. Jordan Todman, 25 years old today. So happy birthday to Jordan. Carolina Panthers running back, well, soon to be former Carolina Panthers running back, D'Angelo Williams, said in an interview on Sunday night that he would be released when talking to a local Charlotte TV station. Williams has followed that up by saying that he isn't upset about being released because he felt like the team abandoned him after his mother died last May after a fight against breast cancer. Williams said the only member of the organization that came to the funeral was defensive end Greg Hardy. Said that he doesn't hold anything against the general manager or head coach either because they did express their condolences at least, but was not happy with the way the rest of the organization handled it. Marshawn Lynch is applying for a trademark of the phrase he uttered over and over again at the Super Bowl media days this year. Of course, I'm just here so I won't get fined. He's trying to trademark it so that no one else can make money off of what Marshawn Lynch had to say at the Super Bowl. Only Marshawn will make that cash.
I'm going to try to trademark I'm exhausted after a two-hour workday. Because I frequently say it, Tony, at about 12:05.
Sure. And Pro Football Talk, their little blurb on the Marshawn Lynch thing was actually interesting because there's a lot of members of the media that really don't like what Marshawn Lynch did for that entire week and has been doing for the last couple of years. And he's going to try to get this thing trademarked so that only he can use it, right?
And only he can profit
right.
from it, I guess.
And so Mike Florio pointed out, well, what if other guys who don't enjoy talking to the media start noticing this
right.
and realize that they can make a profit out of saying the same nothing thing to the media over and over, potentially, what could that mean for whatever you're going to get out of players anyway? And I guess there's something to that. I would say if a guy like Marshawn Lynch, he isn't going to give you anything. It's we're the idiots who stand there for 5 minutes asking him the questions that he's not answering.
Yeah, but the one time he says something, you know, even if he just gets frustrated and lash out,
oh, I know.
And you don't have that audio for your boss, that's their job. They got to keep going back to it. Could you imagine if like Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler came in and you're like, so what's it like being drafted by the Jags? Visit LeonardWilliams.com. That's all he would say. Visit www.DanteFowler.net. That's all. Every time. Huh. Wonder what point he's trying to get across there. 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's get a couple of calls here on Jaguars today. Let's say good morning to Jarrell. Good morning, Jarrell. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. What's going on?
Well, I definitely want to talk about the defensive tackle, defensive end situation with the Jaguars,
sure.
depending on what happens in free agency and whatnot. Me personally, I would be very happy if Justin Houston was available. I don't think he will be, but if they could somehow maybe get a defensive end like him or Pierre Paul, maybe, you know, and then hopefully somebody comes up to trade with Tennessee and then Leonard Williams falls to us at number two, I think that would be an ideal. I mean, at number three anyway. I think that would be an ideal situation for us as far as our D-line goes.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think that would be fantastic as well. And Jason Pierre-Paul would have been very high on my list had it not been clear over the last couple of days now that apparently the Giants will sign him to the franchise tag. And I agree with you, and Tony does as well. We don't expect Justin Houston to get out of Kansas City. So today we're talking more in hypotheticals. But would you, as Marcus Stroud suggested, be cool with the Jags kicking the tires on Greg Hardy? I mean, we all know his off-the-field issues with the, you know, alleged domestic battery that got,
right.
you know, dropped out of the court system, but he's a productive player. Would you be okay if they decided to pursue Greg Hardy in free agency?
I would be actually very fine with that. The whole thing is with the rest of the fan base be fine with that because of the off-field issues, especially with the NFL having so many problems with domestic violence. That's the whole thing with that. I'd be fine with it, but the whole thing with domestic violence thing, that's the only thing that's kind of shady about that. But me personally, I would like it.
You would like it. Okay. Well, I tell you, if they had Greg Hardy from a talent standpoint.
Sure.
Greg Hardy, Leonard Williams, whew, forget it. I mean, that's about as much upgrading as anybody could do on one defensive line in one off season.
No, it would be. And I don't get the sense that the Jaguars are going to be in the Greg Hardy sweepstakes.
I don't
whenever
either, but we
they
don't
wind
know.
Up being. But he is a super talented young player in this league, and that's the off-field stuff is the only reason that he's going to be a free agent at all.
What if you could sign him to a deal in which, if you were to cut him, there was no salary cap implication? So, in other words, instead of having a signing bonus, you had a roster bonus. Right, or a series of roster bonuses. If now you'd have to get him to agree to this, but a roster bonus only hits the salary cap in the year it's given, right? So it's a different, a signing bonus, you could prorate the cap hit, as we all know, right? It's a $20 million signing bonus on a five-year deal. You got to count $4 million for each of those 5 years on that deal. But if you were to cut him after 1 year, all that $16 million that you had left in cap hit all accelerates into that one season. That's why it's tough to cut a guy when you sign him with a big signing bonus. But what if you could structure a deal that gave you a little bit more protection on that front?
I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Greg Hardy. I honestly, of all the pieces in free agency, and again, I don't know how involved the Jaguars are going to be with Hardy, but he's the most interesting guy to me because if he didn't have the off-field stuff, first of all, he'd be a Panther.
He wouldn't even be. We wouldn't
have. There's no way he would be a free agent. But how many teams are going to be talking to Greg Hardy because of how young and talented he is, and what kind of offers is he going to have out there on the table? What kind of contract does a guy dealing with those kind of things, with the league taking the stance they're taking right now,
in a post Ray Rice world,
on those kind of issues? What kind of contract is that guy going to get? Because you would think it is going to be some team, the group of teams that are going to go after him. That if the Jaguars were involved, maybe they do with the contract exactly what you're talking about. Make a roster bonus instead of a big signing bonus like you usually get in free agency, and make him keep his nose clean to stay a member of the team and keep getting paid for the next 4 or 5 years. But if there's one team that feels like this is a piece that we need that says, forget that noise, you know, we'll give you the signing bonus and we'll take the chance on this guy, I'm curious to see if there's a team in this league that's willing to do it that way with the way that this league is going with these kind of issues right now.
641-1010, let's get Mike on before we break. Next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Well, to answer first the question of Houston or Sue, I have to go with Houston only because, you know, seeing how Gus Bradley is and how he's built this team, you know, being one of the least penalized teams last year and whatnot, I just don't see him bringing someone on with that kind of energy that Sue has. You know, I mean, I don't see that personally, but in, you know, with Houston, we would be just as effective, like Marcus was saying earlier, you know, and he picked Houston. I have to agree with him only because I think we'd be just as effective with him, and, you know, we wouldn't be bringing that sort of energy. I don't see Gus Bradley going for that, you know. I mean,
right.
He doesn't even like Blake Bortles hanging his head after he throws an interception. He doesn't like that energy on the field. So I don't see that coming into Jacksonville.
Well, when you say he doesn't like that energy on the field, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, like negative energy or just...
Well, you know how Sue has, you know, he's exempted a little bit of bad sportsmanship. He's a great player.
Yes, yes.
We've seen some bad sportsmanship. It cost the Lions in penalties, you know. I mean, field position, that's a big part of football too, you know, 15 yards.
No, I understand. No, I totally understand that. I don't think, but I just want to be clear. I don't think Gus has a problem with, like, demonstrative players or, you know, if you're making plays, right? Andre Branch looks like he's going to the Hall of Fame with his amount of celebrations that he'll throw at you for the plays that he makes. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't think Gus would have a problem. Any coach, I would hope, would have an issue of a guy crossing the line and stomping on another player. I'm sorry. I do. I know not everybody would. A lot of people think it's a great intimidating way, you know, to build your reputation, what have you. But if Ndamukong Suh can keep that stuff under wraps, and there's no guarantee that he can, guy is a dominant player. There's no question about it.
No doubt.
There's no secret why 15 to 20 teams are rumored to be lining up to throw money at him if he hits free agency. And I'm sure the same would be for Justin Houston as well, and he doesn't come with that baggage that Sue has. How much do you weigh that baggage? Well, Dave Caldwell himself said, you know what, we don't have to have a team full of choir boys. You know, we feel like the locker room is getting strong enough now to where the culture can absorb some guys, and they'll play along. You know what I mean? It will be fascinating to see. Will they show any interest in these kind of guys if they get out there? They have the money to go after whomever they prioritize. So it comes down to who do they prioritize. So if Greg Hardy's out there, if Ndamukong Suh is out there, the Jags can offer more money than anybody. Okay? Now you get into a point where it's silly. They're not going to offer him $60 million of their cap space in 1 year. So having a little bit more than anybody else isn't necessarily the be-all, end-all. But not every other team is going to be willing to spend to their cap limit on one player as well. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. Donovan Darius has checked in with me. He's back from the combine. He's going to join us coming up next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, as we continue the conversation. What's more important, the big time disruptive defensive tackle or the pass rushing, get to the quarterback and sack him defensive end. And if you want to weigh in on Twitter today, we're talking specifically Sue versus Houston. Who'd be the bigger impact signing for the Jacksonville Jaguars in that fantasy land where they were both available in free agency? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today rolling on. This one from Jags Fanatic at Barquato 13 on Twitter. Said, I would take Greg Hardy in a heartbeat. Hope my Jags feel the same. Hashtag, I would sell my soul to the devil for my Jags. Hashtag, just kidding. Hashtag, not. Honestly, you know, you don't want the kind of headlines that come with what Greg Hardy was involved in last year. You don't want the waste of resources, right? The keep in mind, Fisher's exempt list, these guys were getting paid last year.
Right.
Okay? That's a lot of money you're doling out for nothing happening on the field. Now, does that mean it's ever going to happen again with Greg Hardy? We don't know. It'll be fascinating to see, Tony, because he will make it to free agency.
Yes, he will.
He will not be franchised. He will not re-up with the Carolina Panthers. And if just putting aside off the field, on the field, one of the five best young pass rushers in the league. Maybe one of the three best. I mean, Houston is up there. I still think Robert Quinn is in that conversation. J.J. Watt is in there. Greg Hardy is in there. One of the top five. One of the top five young mid-20s impact pass rushers in the league. 641-1010 is a number if you'd like to get on board right now. Let's dial up the hitman. Donovan Darius joining us here on Jaguars Today once again. What's up, Double D? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. Just got back in late last night from the Combines, man, and figured, hey, while the Combine story is still out there, I might as well call in and, you know, just kind of give a little insight and whatnot. And, you know, did you guys make it out there?
No, we don't. I don't go. I've never been to the Combine, so I've never covered it in person. A couple of folks, like Ryan O'Halloran was out there from the Times Union, John Osier and J.P. Shadrick from Jaguars.com. We're out there. So we had plenty of eyes on the scene, but we didn't have.
I was looking for you to run the 40. You know, I was
run.
I was about to flash lightning bolt on the 40-yard line.
Give me my over-under time. What time do you think would be a fair over-under?
You know
set
what?
For me?
I mean, listen, this is not a negative thing, but it's a realistic thing.
This is a fact.
I would give you about a, maybe like a 6-3.
6-3? So you're saying I can't beat Rich Eisen is what you're saying.
Well, you can if you put him in a race. I mean, I think you like to compete, but you know, just on your own with no motivation, you
just
might
against the clock. What if you put a plate full of cupcakes at the finish line? That's even
you know
what you're suggesting.
Hey,
that
right, you would beat J.J. Nelson at 4-3. I think. Especially if the cupcakes are starting to be taken away. Oh my goodness!
Oh, don't you dare take my cupcakes, Donovan! Stop it,
Donovan. Fantastic to hear from you. I know you were up at the combine this week. Let the people know a little bit about what you were doing up there. I saw a mentoring position for you up there. I know you're really involved with these athletes, whether they're in the game or coming into the game, and trying to let them know the right direction to go.
Yeah, well, the great thing this year with the role that I have with the NFL Legends community was they brought us up there, and they did it for each position group. They brought us some NFL legend guys to basically, number one, sit down with all the guys in that position and let them know an expectation meeting, kind of what to expect coming into the league. We got a chance to share our experiences, but then also let them know what to expect and how to prepare mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever, you know, just for the whole weekend and then the month that's coming. And so we got a chance to do that, and the whole purpose really was, like I said, to share our experiences, walk with these guys because they know that you've been there. And then at the same time, just try to support them while they're going through. I mean, the combine is a very, very long process. And so mentally, guys can start getting fatigued. But just to be there encouraging them, supporting them, and just letting them know that you're there. And then I got a chance to make sure that everybody had my information. So through this process, they can reach out and just kind of get some insight from someone who doesn't want anything from them. I told them, I said, I don't want nothing from you except your personal commitment to your success. And that was it. And for somebody coming into the league not knowing what to expect, to have somebody or an organization that you can reach out to that just doesn't want anything from you or taken from you, I think it's a benefit. So I'm glad the league has decided to do it.
Donovan Darius here with us on Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Donovan, I saw somebody, I can't remember who was quoted this morning, front office type, who said, look, the league's getting pretty good at evaluating players based on their talent. What you still can't evaluate is the heart. You can't evaluate the character. You can't evaluate the love of football. You try to, but you can't
right.
see inside a person as much. And, you know, you're talking about things on this level, the importance of good character and taking care of yourself and being the best you can be. How much are you seeing this become more of a point of emphasis when people are considering where they're going to spend their draft picks on some of these guys? And not only that, but their money in free agency as well.
Oh, I think most definitely. I mean, when you look to draft a guy, understanding that there's only so many rounds and so many picks you may have, you want to get it right. I mean, think about, we're here in Jacksonville, and how many times have, the reports of bad drafts, not just for guys on the field, what they do on the field, but just their character or the decisions they make. You know, we're all one decision away from, you know, making a big mistake. And so when they're spending time with these guys, they're trying to get the most out of them. I got a chance to talk to several scouts that were there, several general managers, and I just wanted to ask them, what do you guys look for? If you're in front of this player, like I'll have exposure to them, what would you want to tell them? Sure, I have my own experiences, but one of the things that I told all the guys that I met with one of these scouts, and this is what they said, and it was very enlightening for them. There's a team in the league that once they come from this combine and they have their hot list, let's say 15 guys or so that they really are interested in, what they then do is they have their security guy. He basically leaves town, wherever that city is, wherever his team is, and he doesn't come back until about a week prior to the draft. And his whole responsibility from that time, those next couple months, is to go to every hometown, talk to the high school coaches, talk to teachers, talk to friends, talk to community people, to, you know, talk to the schools. His whole job is to do as much research as they can into who is this person that they're bringing in best. And so when I got the chance to share that with the guys, to let them know that up to this point right now, everything you've done is going to be discovered. So you can't hide anything. But all you can do now is focus on your present, make the right decisions as far as, you know, as it pertains to your future, and understand that, hey, do your job. This phase of interview phase right now, which is the combine, your pro day workouts, this is where your mind should be. And these are the things that you want to focus on to make sure you're giving yourself the best chance. And so I know they had the whole weekend full of medical, physical, but what I told them also was, and I heard it from one of their general managers as well, is those 15-minute interviews that those teams do with those players, they tell you a whole lot. Because you'll have some guys come in with kind of, they're coached up on what to say. No matter how much they prig and pry, they're coached up what to say. But then you have guys that come in and they really share the true, honest responses and their opinions. And those are the guys, a lot of times, that a team can have a guy high on the board, but based off of that interview, they're like, you know what, we can't trust them. And so they try to get as much as they can out of it, but just know that the NFL does an incredible job, and each team does it differently on how they evaluate players.
Former Jacksonville Jaguars safety Donovan Darius joining us here on Jaguars today. Donovan, again, you had the opportunity to go up there to the combine and meet a lot of these players before they get into the NFL. This is a Jaguars team that a lot of people think may be looking to upgrade that free safety position, whether it be in free agency or the draft. What did you see from guys that are going to be playing that position specifically during your time up there?
Well, I'll tell you what, the defensive back group was a very, phenomenal group to be around, because these guys, I mean, I don't know, it looks like they come out, you know, faster, stronger, bigger, quicker, I mean, than when we came out. But in a group that I had yesterday, I mean, it was a couple guys, of course, that stood out. The guy from, with the Michigan State, Trey Williams, he did very well. The guy, I think, is from USC, Josh Shaw. He did well. Of course, you know, Landon Collins, I actually coached him at one of the Nike 707 opening championships when he was coming out of high school, and I knew it was a two-day event, and he had 11 interceptions. I mean, so to see the success that he's had, you know, over his college career was amazing. But I tell you what, one of the guys that really stood out, and he's a great story, was the guy Byron Jones from UConn. And when you watch the video of him on the standing broad jump where he broke the record at 12-for-3, I mean, I had a close-up, you know, view with everything. I mean, this guy, I mean, I've never seen anybody jump and spring like he did, whether it's on the vertical or 44, and you know, 44, I believe it was, or the broad jump. But it was great, man. As far as the Jaguars, I don't think anybody, you know, that they'll get really early, but it was a few guys that I saw that I think could upgrade the secondary. But without looking at tape on them, you know, which is a really tall tale on how they do, it would kind of really be hard to say, but I look forward to following the next couple months.
Yeah, speaking of Byron Bell, I don't know if anyone's ever seen anyone explode like that. Apparently the stories going around are that may be the world record broad jump of all time.
Yeah.
You know, the longest one that anyone's found recorded was 12 feet 2 inches. He did 12 feet 3 inches. How much does that help him, though, Donovan? We always debate, you know, it's the tape versus the combine, you know, the measurables and all this stuff. You got a guy like Byron Bell. Yes, he's an explosive athlete. Does that bump him up around? How does that impact his draft stock?
Well, it does. In a situation like him, it's a story. And it's about who can tell the best story to give you the greatest opportunity. When I talked to a couple, of course, of the other scouts and whatnot, I said, you know what? Have you ever been tricked before? And he said, yes, we have, which means that the film says one thing, but then a guy tests well and it says something else. And all of a sudden, when you have a room full of scouts and pro player personnel, somebody can value the test scores more than just what they saw on film. It's kind of like an upside. And so you never know. So each team does it differently. And a lot of it comes down to who is the head man in that room and what does he value most. And so although it cannot hurt you, it does help you. Now, the guy Byron Jones, of course, I mean, he even has a story. I mean, the fact that he had a labrum tear this past year, he didn't run. But he didn't run because of his labrum repair, but he did jump. And I had a labrum tear before, and I know how excruciating the pain is in rehab just to, you know, throw your arms like that. And so for him to use his arms and jump as high as he did and throw his arms out there to jump as far as he did, I really saw he had so much more in him. I mean, this guy easily could have got 13 feet. And so to answer your question, yeah, it does help. It does help when people are talking about you, when your name is out there now, to be considered, to say, hey, if you throw a ball up against a Calvin Johnson, maybe this guy can go up as a corner, you know, and he can basically intercept it. I mean, so they start thinking about what does these test scores do and how can they be tangible to your performance in a scheme.
By the way, I called him Byron Bell. Byron Bell's a left tackle for the Panthers. Byron Jones, as you properly pointed out, was the kid's name.
Donovan, before we let you go, I know we've talked to you before. You've had the opportunity to be here in the building with Jonathan Cyprian and the other safeties on this team over the course of the last couple of years. Have you talked to Cyprian since the season ended and kind of look back on the 2014 year yet, or is that something you may do later in this offseason?
Yeah, we'll do it later in the offseason, I think. And then we had talked about it prior to the end of the year, is really just trying to sit down when these guys take some time away from the game, come back, have their mind prepared to let's watch and evaluate everything, and then let's create a game plan moving forward. And so I actually talked to Coach Bradley, you know, at the combines, and he's all on board with that. As I told him, I said, listen, I'm not looking for a job. You know, I want to put my heart out there. I just feel passionate about understanding I had an experience and a privilege to do something that less than 1% of the people in the world can do. And I feel it's an obligation to me, and it's fun to pour out the skills, to pour out the experiences, help someone else, you know, achieve their dream. And so, yeah, hopefully I will be getting an opportunity to work more with the guys this summer outside of just Cyprian. But I'm looking forward to it as a fan, you know, and a supporter of the organization.
right, Donovan Darius, as we wrap up today, Double D, we're talking about the relative values of the best defensive tackles and the best defensive ends in football. Okay, you got a guy like Ndamukong Suh, you got a guy like Justin Houston, and it's not in a vacuum because the Jags are probably stronger at defensive tackle than any other position if you assume that Marks and Miller come back to full health. But from your vantage point, playing behind those defensive fronts over the years, what is more critical, or what would you prefer? Would you rather have a great, I'm talking about a great, a Warren Sapp and Ndamukong Suh level defensive tackle, or a great pass rushing disruptive defensive end? What's more important?
Well, I think if you can have a really dominating defensive, you know, person in the middle, and of course we had the privilege of having John Henderson and Marcus Stroud, and we also had Tony Brackens. I mean, and I think the game has shifted and changed a lot in terms of schemes and whatnot. And although pass rusher, somebody to get around the edge like a J.J. Watt is, and I mean, he can play anything. He can play a three technique. He can play a nine technique. So that's a rarity. But I just think that the fastest way to the end zone is straight down the middle. And if you don't have a guy who's strong and stout and being the foundation and anchor to make the offensive guys go east and west, you know, side to side versus straight downhill, I think it creates for a long time. I mean, I remember my last year when I was in Miami and they were in a rebuilding year, and I've never seen holes like the Red Sea like it was when I was there. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And so it really made me continuously respect what we had when we had those guys in the middle, because the angles were, you know, they were accurate. You knew where to go versus this play's supposed to get pushed outside. But because guys are guessing or guys getting pushed off the spot through the middle, the very center core of your defense, you know, now guys are springing to the secondary and there's nobody to be found. So I would say with the Jaguars, I know Sendarek, he's coming off of injury and everything, and he'll come back. That'd be no problem. He'll come back in there, because especially with technology and the way he works. But I just say, if you can shore up that inside, you know, if you can shore up that inside, it's amazing. What is it? Tom Brady, what does he want to do? He wants to step up into the pocket. You know, he don't want to run outside. So you get some push. You get some guys with technique and leverage up on that inside. And I guarantee you, man, you'll start seeing a difference, you know, in the Jaguar, you know, their defense as a whole.
That is a good point. They don't like those guys around their feet, and the quickest way to get there is the direct line. Donovan Darius. By the way, Vegas, the opening line in Vegas was the over-under at 6.3 seconds. It's been bet up to 6.4. Everyone's taking the over on my 40 time, Donovan. So it's already gone up a tenth of a second. It's unbelievable. Hey, man, glad you're back. We'll catch up in person in studio real soon, all right?
Sounds good, man. You guys have a good one.
All right, buddy. There he goes. Donovan Darius here checking in on Jaguars today. It's a reunion week, Tony, is what it is.
Must be.
It's Stroud. Yeah, Darius. Tomorrow we're going to have Leon Searcy on the program. And happy to do it here. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you today, in a hypothetical world in which they're both available on the free agent market, who's a bigger priority for you, for the Jaguars, Ndamukong Suh or Justin Houston? We'll discuss that when we return in a moment. 641-1010. If you want to get in, it's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch, Suh v. Houston. We've got a lot of responses that say it's crazy. They're both going to get franchised. Neither one of them is going to get out there. That may or may not be the case. I don't know if Suh is going to get franchised. He's not going to get franchised.
He's not going to get franchised.
He's either going to get a new deal with Detroit or he's going to hit the free agent market.
But absolutely.
They're not going to give him a $26 million one-year payout, which, based on the way his contract was structured, would be what he was due if they applied the franchise tag to him this year. The reason, and Tony and I both, by the way, feel that Justin Houston will not make it to free agency either, but there was just a note in a draft column today from Tony Pauline that said that the Chiefs are keeping close tabs on Bernardrick McKinney, one of the top linebacker prospects in the draft, thinking he could play outside as a potential replacement if they were to lose Justin Houston.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they're just keeping their options open. Maybe it's not set in stone. I'm sure they're going to do everything they can. You don't let a guy with 20-plus sacks in his mid-20s walk away. So
no.
I would find that hard to believe. But in the event that they were both available, Tony, we asked Jaguar fans, who would they rather see the Jaguars pursue? Who did they say?
From Paolo, we got Ndamukong Suh, since we can draft a stud defensive end. Suh and Marks would wreak havoc in the middle. From Eric, give me Houston every day. Fits the need more, and 20-plus sacks are nothing to sneeze at. From Brian, Justin Houston, he's younger and not one hot-headed moment away from a long suspension. From Robbie, Ndamukong Suh, bring back the nasty to the defensive line. From at Iris Jaguar, Houston, and it's not even close. From Black Dog, if this doesn't come back 100% Houston, I seriously question the football IQ of my fellow listeners. From Ronald, Justin Houston, we already have a great three-tech in Cinderic Marks.
With a torn ACL.
Oh, yeah. From Welp, Houston, the D-line had sacks, but terrible pressure statistics. They need more pressure off the edge. From Duval Doom, Justin Houston, please. Then Leonard Williams in the draft. All the QB killers, please. From Isaiah, Sue brings a type of physicality to a team that I would want on my team. From Jagan Flight, Houston, please. Need the outside to create havoc. Already have good three-tech with Marks. Then draft Williams. Boom! From Alvaro, Suh, that guy can bring excitement back not for the fans but for the players. From Nick, Justin Houston all day, every day. Already have Marks inside as the three-tech. Clemens is only getting older. Hashtag sign JH.
You can have your opinion on both of these guys. I think you can, unlike the one person who said everyone's basically brain dead if they don't say Houston, I think you can make an argument for either one of these guys. I don't understand. Bring the excitement back for the players. Well, who cares? To go out there and play. Excitement. You're not going to, oh, we're excited Sue's here. No. Who makes you better? Okay. You'll be excited. Trust me. They'd be excited to have Justin Houston lining up as well.
No doubt.
Facebook was, it was fascinating, Tony. Everyone pretty much convinced that their guy's the right guy. And there's no consensus whatsoever. All right. Matthew said Sue. Joshua said Houston. No contest. Kevin went with Justin Houston based on the age. Lavi said, for the Jaguars, based on the makeup of the team, Houston. Then Shane said Sue. Stanley said Sue. Steve said Sue. Nick said, tough choice. Knowing his past, I'm not sure I want Sue in the baggage. Who am I kidding? Sue. Bill said Sue. Austin said Houston. Jason said Houston. Aaron said Houston. I mean, on and on. I can just go down the line. Houston probably slight edge because of the makeup of this team. But no clear-cut consensus on these guys. I'll take them both. I'll take either one. As I forget what the deciding question was. Maybe it was Julius Thomas and Randall Cobb this morning on ETN. Hickett said the right answer is either, please. Either or both. Yes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you get the sense that Ogier is trying to set you up to let you down easily. Yesterday, Jaguar fans are going to be disappointed with free agency. And, look, I understand if you're disappointed because a lot of these big names don't get out there. But if they do get out there, Tony, they're going to be real disappointed if the Jags don't make a serious run at the biggest of the big names out there. There's no – there. You cannot give me a compelling reason why you wouldn't at least throw your name into the ring with the biggest guys out there. You got all the money to spend. You need impact all across the board. So that, to me, would be the crushing disappointment if a guy like Justin Houston or Ndamukong Suh is out there and they don't even investigate. You know, and maybe they get priced out of the market. I mean, there are going to be 15, 20 teams chasing these guys just because you have the most cap space. You still have a limit on how much you're going to spend on any one player. Other teams are going to want to spend to that limit as well, and there may be more attractive situations. I'm not saying those guys are in any way likely to end up here, even if they did make it there, but to not pursue them, I think, would be setting themselves up for massive fan disenchantment.
And a couple other factors in that as well. You have a general manager who came out this offseason and said, yes, we probably made a mistake not having more veterans on the offensive side of the ball. That's something that they can do something about this offseason with whatever's going to be available to them in free agency. And unlike for the last couple years, there is significant pressure on this organization to win now that hasn't been there for the last couple years. And it's on Gus Bradley and it's on Dave Caldwell to put together a team that is going to not be more competitive, win football games in 2015. And if you have $60 million to spend in free agency, you better be involved with these players when they become available to you in free agency that are upgrades based on what you have on your roster right now. You have to be active in that period of the year. We'll see what they land or don't land, but they have to be active here in the next couple weeks.
I think it would behoove the Jags as well to publicize that interest as well. If for no other reason than to show the lengths that they're going to improve this football team. Because last year you had a lot of reasons for natural excitement. You had a new quarterback in. You're hoping it's going to be the face of the franchise. It's year two. You're expecting an increase in wins that didn't come. But, the new scoreboards were in, so the game day experience was heightened. There were a lot of things to give you momentum as an organization. And there's a lot of those things are still in place. But I think a lot of Jag fans right now are starting to fall into the show me, don't tell me category, and I can totally understand that after the last 3 years have produced 9 wins, albeit only 2 of those under the Bradley Caldwell regime here in Jacksonville. That does it for us today. I did find it very interesting. Marcus Stroud said, "The heck with these defensive players. Let's go get Amari Cooper." Donovan Darius takes a dominant defensive tackle over a dominant defensive end. I don't think there's a simple right answer. You know what? Leonard Williams could be a great player for the Jags. Amari Cooper could be a great player for the Jags. Randy Gregory, Dante Fowler, you name the guy, could be great players for the Jags. As long as they end up taking a guy.
Better be a great player.
Who's a great player, right? Yep. Or if the guys that they pass on that are in that conversation turn out to be great players and the guy you take is just eh. The draft. Oh, my goodness. It just confounding. Thanks to Big Baby Marcus Stroud for joining us on the program today. Thanks to Donovan Darius for joining us as well. Leon Searcy makes his Jaguars Today debut, not station debut, but Jaguars Today debut tomorrow on the program. Ryan O'Halloran will be in to co-host and plenty more throughout the rest of the week. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, that does it for us today. I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.